Praise the Lord. Well, let me ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to three places. We're going to do something a little differently this morning. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20, Exodus chapter 30, and Exodus chapter 40. We're going to do something special this morning and dedicate some facilities that the Lord has provided for us for the furtherance of the gospel, for the furtherance of the word of His kingdom. And prior to our doing that, I thought it would be appropriate for us to develop some sort of scriptural basis, some sort of scriptural foundation. When the service concludes this morning, it's going to conclude outside. After I've had an opportunity to share these scriptures with you and comment on them just briefly, we're going to adjourn the service to the outside lawn where we're going to circumscribe the new sign that we have. And we're going to call that sign into the gospel ministry, and we're going to dedicate it to the ministry of this good news gospel that God has given us. Then we're going to go over into the woods, and we're going to do the same thing with the two classroom trailers that the Lord has given us. And someone might think that we're silly in doing that. I want to express to you the wisdom of God today looks foolish to men. But please do stay with us this morning, and as we establish here a scriptural foundation for what we're going to do, and then we're going to put God's word into action, and we're going to be adjourned to the outside, and then we'll dismiss the service from out there a little later this morning. Father, we thank you for the principles established in your word. We thank you for the clear direction, and more importantly, Father, we thank you for the promises that are granted by your word. We thank you, our Father, that your ways are higher than ours, that they are not man's ways, and that it is not necessary for us to have an understanding of how everything works in your kingdom. For we see that the principle for sonship and the principle for joy and the principle that returns to us peace of mind and of heart is that we will simply trust and obey. And as Solomon said, that we should trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge you, and that you will direct our paths. We are not really very concerned this morning, Father, whether people understand why we would pray over an inanimate object, why we would pray over a piece of metal and plexiglass, why we would pray over a sign, over rocks, over mobile classroom trailers. Father, the only thing that's really important to us is that we have an awareness of your promise and your guidance and your instruction, and that we be in obedience to those things. We know that you will bless our obedience. Thank you, Father, for opening up this morning to us a portion of the principles of your word, how your kingdom works. In the name of Jesus, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 20, Exodus chapter 30, and Exodus chapter 40. My wife told me last week that I had given you the wrong scriptures on the message I preached last week, and I thought, how could I have possibly done that? And then I went and checked my notes, and surely I did. I told you last week the wrong scriptures. I'm sure you followed me, though, as I got into them. And so this morning I want to be especially careful that I have not written down the wrong ones. Deuteronomy 20, Exodus 30, and Exodus 40. Beginning in the 20th chapter of Deuteronomy, the fifth verse, reading just that one verse. Moses giving instruction here as to when Israel should encounter their enemy, some preparations that the officers would make prior to the battle being enjoined. And the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. Apparently, it was very important to the Israelite to make dedication for those things that were his unto the Lord, to make a public as well as a personal acknowledgement that that which he had came from the Lord, belonged to the Lord, and was dedicated to him. We follow that principle as we dedicate churches, as we dedicate children, And this morning, as we dedicate signs and trailers, how many of you were here the day that we dedicated this grand piano to the gospel ministry? A good many of you were here that day. How many of you believe that God has used that piano to minister the gospel? Now, there may have been some people that day, you see, that thought, what is the matter with those jerks? That thing is, I mean, it can't think for itself. It's inanimate. It can't speak. It can't think. It can't understand. It can't consider. But yet God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And on the day that we committed that piano to the gospel ministry and called it into the ministry, God did a work in that piano. I know that, and so do you. And today I believe that He's going to do a work in our sign, and He's going to do a work in our classroom trailers. You say, Pastor, you have gone off the deep end. Yes, I have. I've gone completely out of my mind, just absolutely flat out of my mind, and I've gone in the Spirit. And I'm seeing something in the Spirit, you see, that you can't see in your mind. And that's the reason that so many people won't do these kind of crazy things. And that's exactly the reason why most do not ever feel the presence of God, never see the power of God operating in their services, and never sense the presence and the power of the Spirit of God operating in their lives. But thank God He's real, and thank the Lord that He has ordained some very unusual things in order to freeze out all the smart guys. Do you know what I'm talking about? Jesus said one day, oh, Father, I'm so thankful that you have held these things back from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them to the babes. Hallelujah. I just feel like a baby today. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go out there and we're going to put oil on that sign, and we'll pray over it. We're going to speak the word of God to it. And some of you who may have a problem with that, just hang around a little while and watch this take place, and you watch the power of God. And then you watch what the Lord does with that sign out there. And then begin to think that we charismatics maybe aren't quite as crazy as we're made out to be. It was so important in the day of Moses that Moses gave the people God's instruction that if a man had built a house and he didn't have opportunity to dedicate it yet to the Lord, that it was more important than going out and fighting the enemy, that he should go home and dedicate his house. He ought to recognize that his house and his property belong to the Lord, and he ought to commit it to the Lord. He ought to personally dedicate it to Him, and then he ought to go out and take care of the enemy. Those of you that are building new homes, don't you forget this. We've been to some homes in our congregation and put a little oil here and there and prayed over those homes and dedicated them to the Lord. I tell you, I wouldn't build one without having it committed to the Lord, dedicated to the Lord. Now, you don't need the whole church to do that. You can do it yourself, but it sure is helpful to have some Christian friends come and just kind of minister with you. You may not know this, but on the night that the Lord showed us that this building was going to be ours, this particular house right here, that this was going to be the spot that we were going to worship in, we were meeting at that time at the EMC building, and we had had that Sunday evening, I believe it was a Sunday evening, we had had a meeting at our home, Lois's and my home, and we that evening decided under the Lord's leading that we'd make an offer on this property and that we would acquire it, that God was giving it to us. Well, after everybody had left that night, we had a house full that night, I don't know how many people were there, probably 50 or 60 folks. After everybody left, there were a few of us kind of sitting around and talking, and somebody got the bright idea, we ought to go over there and anoint that building. We ought to just claim it for the Lord, dedicate it to the Lord, and put our seal on that building so it just couldn't belong to anybody else. So six crazies got together, and you want me to tell you who they were? You would figure it out. You know, if I didn't tell you, you just look around the congregation, you'd figure it out. It was the Schallenbergers. They don't come much crazier than them, except the Fulchers. James, you noticed the people that are going like this, didn't you? And Chris and John, aren't you glad there are the Fulchers? Hey, praise the Lord. And the Rock Hills. And we came over here with a jar of oil, and we went to these doors out here, and we just anointed those doors with oil and claimed this place in the name of the Lord. I am well satisfied. The reason we're sitting here today is because there were six nuts that came over here in the middle of the night. Now, it's about 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch dark. We are trespassing. And we were praying all the way, Lord, don't let any deputies come around. You know, what are you doing on this property? But we were on the King's business. We were on a holy mission. It took a year for us to get in this building. But the anointing of God was on it all that period of time. And I know that I know the Lord will honor what we're going to do this morning. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 30. Let's see the very clear instructions now that God gave Moses, so that should someone be concerned about the dedication or the anointing of inanimate objects, that they should find some scriptural principle for that. Exodus chapter 30, beginning to read in the 22nd verse, these words. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices, of pure myrrh 500 shekels, and of the sweet cinnamon half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus 250 shekels, and of cassia 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil olive and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. Now here is God's instruction to his people. Take these instruments, take these material objects, which are going to be used for my service, and in a public ceremony, do something with them that will cause them to be once and for all separated unto my work. Take this holy anointing oil, which the instructions are given here as to how to make it. And I want you to take on all of these instruments, I want you to put the oil upon it, which becomes, if you will, since we recognize as we see the entire witness of Scripture, that oil is used many times as a type of the Holy Spirit. And God, without explaining all of that, is saying to Moses and through him to the people, I want you to put the seal of my Spirit upon that which is mine and that which is consecrated to my service. And so on the tabernacle where you will worship, on the ark upon which my presence will dwell, upon the altar, upon the laver, upon the table, upon the feet of the table, I want you to put my seal. And when you do, it will sanctify it, or it will separate it to a special and a holy purpose, and it will no longer be ordinary rock, it will no longer be ordinary brass, it will no longer be ordinary plexiglass, it will no longer be ordinary electrical wire, it will no longer be ordinary gold and silver, but it will be that which is called into the ministry of the Lord God Almighty, the El Shaddai himself, and I will use it to minister to men in the earth. Now in the 40th chapter of Exodus, Moses does as he is commanded. Beginning to read in the first verse, I'm going to read 9 verses and then some highlights from the remainder of the chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. And thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shalt put water therein. And thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hanging at the court gate. And thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it and all the vessels thereof. And what? It shall be holy. He didn't say it'll be oil stained. He said it would be holy. He said, if you are willing to do this foolishness, I will see that this becomes hallowed, and I will see that it is holy. And then in the 16th verse we read, thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And if you'll read on through the 19th verse and following, you'll find that after every segment there, as Moses and the men were raising the tabernacle and establishing it the way the Lord told him, you will see the tagline on the tail end of verse 19, as the Lord commanded Moses. On the end of verse 21, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 23, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 25, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 27, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 29, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 32, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, because Moses and the people did according to the command of the Lord, they had a move of the Spirit of God in a magnificent way, and we see it in the 34th and 5th verses. Notice the first word in verse 34 is then. Then. Not before, but after. Not before Moses did what he was told, but after he was told, did what he was told. After he did as the Lord had commanded him, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When the people of God found in their hearts obedience to do the things that God had asked them to do, then the presence of God was manifested in their midst. Now, you must understand that at this time, these people did not have this Bible. They did not have this Word of God. They did not have the historical evidence that we have that God would fulfill His promises and that He would keep His Word. All they had was a trust in the Word of the Lord. And can you not imagine that there were those in that day that thought Moses was off of his rocker? Can you not hear some of them saying, Moses spent all this time up on the mountain, 40 days and nights, and he had nothing to eat or drink. His mind is gone. He's lost at least a little bit of what he had before he went up there. But the predominant opinion within the congregation was apparently one of obedience, one of a willingness to take God at His word, to follow the leadership that had been provided through Moses, and to say, if Moses said God did it, if Moses says God told us to do it, then we're going to do it, and we don't have to understand it. And they went out and they did anoint all of these articles with oil as a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and God brought His word to pass. And His Spirit filled that tabernacle in such a glorious way that it was so strong even Moses, who had stood in the presence of God for 40 days and nights on the mountaintop, even Moses was unable to stand in the presence of the Lord. Now, you should know this, that under the new covenant, the new covenant is ratified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it does not depend upon these kinds of natural circumstances. John chapter 15, Jesus spoke to His disciples and He said, you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're told that Jesus sanctified His church, set it apart by the washing of the water by the word. John 17 and 17, Jesus spoke in His high priestly prayer and He asked His Father, He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we see in 1 Timothy chapter 4 in the early verses that God has created all things good and they are to be received as long as they come to us, as they're received with thanksgiving, as long as we sanctify them by the word of God and by prayer. You should know that today the Spirit of God is poured out upon the earth, and it is the Word of God that the Spirit of God uses to sanctify people and to sanctify objects, if you will. How many of you understand what I mean? As a remembrance of how He did it under that old covenant, and as an aid for us today in our own faith, aiding our own faith, recognizing the presence of the Spirit of God. Some years ago, I was sitting in the home of one of our families, and it was in the middle of the afternoon, and the woman of the house, the sister, and I were sitting around her kitchen table, and we were praying. And the Lord began to move upon us there, and it was a number of years ago, the church had just been formed, and the Lord showed me a vision. I'm not big about visions, but He showed me a picture of a sign. And I sat down and I drew it. And I knew that 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 there would be a day come that we would put a sign out on this front lawn right where it is, in the general area where it is, but it would be more than a sign that just identifies us as Water of Life Christian Center. You see, a sign that identifies us as Water of Life Christian Center could have been put up there probably for $100. That one cost over $5,000. You say, Pastor, why would we spend so much money putting up a sign just to identify us? Because that sign just does not identify us. That sign preaches the gospel 24 hours a day. And one of the things that He showed me that day was that we needed a very large panel on which we could put a changeable message and one that we could fill with the Word of God, not man's pithy sayings, not man's wisdom, not even man's humor, but the power of Almighty God, which is His Word. I don't know about you, but if I'm driving down the highway and I see a sign that big, and that sign is 4x8 out there, it lights all night long. It lights up at dark and it goes off again at dawn. You can't help but see the sign. When you drive down that highway there, actually the sign is larger than the county ordinance will allow. It's too big. But we got an exception for it so that we could put it up there. And the point is that God wants His Word preached beyond these walls. Now, there are lots more people that go up and down this road every day than ever come in this building. And I believe that God's Word does never go forth and return void, but that wherever God's Word is sown in a human mind and a human heart, that it produces after its own self. It brings forth bud and it brings forth bloom. That's why we have a sign that's that big. Actually, when we got it, when we ordered it, I thought, oh my gosh, that's so big, it's going to overpower everything. When we got it, I think it's a little on the small side. But I have a big vision for what that sign will do. I have a vision about all the people that live in the subdivisions up and down Highway 5 and back off Berea Road and down here and back in Banks Mill and all the people that go up and down Highway 5. Hundreds and thousands of people every day that go up in the morning and go back at night. Up the next morning, back at night. Twice a day, every day for a week, they see the same scripture. One of these days, that word is going to touch their hearts and minister to them in a way that we don't even understand. I believe that with all my heart. That's why we spend that kind of money to put a sign up out there. We're going to dedicate it today to the gospel ministry, to the work of bringing forth the Word of God to people that would never come in this auditorium. I was thinking one day when we had ordered the sign, I was waiting for it to come in. And I can think about this is the kind of picture that I got. I was thinking about the guy on Saturday night about 2 o'clock in the morning, about 3 sheets to the wind, weaving down Highway 5, hoping that he can get ready to throw his guts up, feeling miserable because of what he'd done, out late, knowing when he gets home his wife is going to give him a new nose, you know. And as he's coming down Highway 5, he sees the sign. And it says, "And Jesus looked on him and loved him." Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's those are the words that were on the sign when I saw it. I'm just waiting for the Lord to show me when to, because he knows when that stone guy, you know, is coming down, going to be coming down the road, see? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know that sign may bring more people into the kingdom than this whole, than we ever see brought to the kingdom inside these walls. Did you know that?